We'll go ahead and get started. It was a great win for our program, Southern Illinois. It's a good football program. Dale Lennon's an excellent coach, and going on the road and going against a program that was in position to play for a lot and still has a lot to play for. It was a tall order. Our guys had played down there before, and we'd had a tough time, and so it was one of our better performances. We certainly didn't play air-free, but I thought as the game went along, we certainly played better. And now we're on to another challenge. Indiana State, the only team that beat us last year. A lot of the same players are back, got a different coaching staff. However, they're, well-seasoned coach as their head football coach, was kind of the architect of the zone read stuff with Alex Smith out of Utah. And Brian Cabral is a guy I've known for a long time at Colorado. So well-credentialed coaching staff. We'll be going to Terre Haute and trying to figure out the way to come up with another win. So at this time, open up questions.
Coach, did you see anything from your running game in the second half that you'd like to take into this Indiana State game?
Well, it was probably the most effective job we've done against a 3-4 Indiana State, a lineup in a 3-4 some. It's certainly a little bit different. Every scheme's a little bit different, but there's certainly some things that we're going to take from that. I think we can build on our confidence. The biggest thing was we had the five offensive linemen working together. And anytime you have those guys, they're very talented. They played together a lot this year. And to get those guys back in the same spots and have the same fullback combination along with the same two tailbacks, that certainly helped. And so we're encouraged about that. However, I think, we'll be challenged this week as we are every week.
Coach, you probably just answered this, but that off-tackle play with Ogeri, same play as at Kansas State, it looks like such a simple play. Why did that work?
Well, sometimes things that look simple really can be difficult to defend. You've got a keen eye because that was the exact same play that popped. And we used it a couple times. I think the biggest thing is we're able to get some movement. And any time that you can try to replicate that with a scout team during the week, that's difficult to do. When you have that big of guys coming down, it's you're working a lot of different angles, down, kick out. It's a gap scheme. And those schemes go contrary to, where college football is at right now. Everything you see in college football is a zone spread, and that's old school football. It's down, kick out, and it's hard-nosed stuff. It takes a lot of time and effort and discipline to implement those plays. They're not real glamorous plays, but on the flip side, those are very difficult plays to defend because they're difficult to replicate.
Coach, have you ever had a team like this that mentally they just don't beat themselves up, down 10-7 at halftime, things were going that well offensively? Talk about the mental makeup of this team and how strong they're going to be.
No, it's probably been the most resilient team that we've had. I can remember several years ago, Steve Walker was a quarterback. We were down at, Cal Poly by quite a few scores. But as far as just over and over again, they really have an even keel. I think our players understand that, it's a 60-minute ball game, and it's going to be important that if we have some mistakes that we get them corrected. And during the course of the game, there's an opportunity to get back in the game. I think what is critical, though, we've never gotten outside, a comfort zone to where you're down a couple possessions. I mean, two scores with the way games go in the fourth quarter, that's doable. And we've been able to maintain that. You start getting outside that, then I think we're going to get a little uncomfortable. But what we don't want to do is just go out and rest and say, hey, let's just kind of hang around and see what happens, and then we'll kick her in gear. That's not been our approach. But it certainly is encouraging to know that, okay, you've got guys that play with poise, confidence, they believe in the system. Coaches have done a good job adjusting, and so you can overcome some adversity. Because there was times during the course of the game that we weren't playing particularly well, and sometimes that's going to happen. And what we've been able to do is just continue to regroup and say, okay, the next series, the next play is ours, either on offense or defense in the kicking game.
Have you seen something from your team that's causing some of these first half struggles, or is it as simple as just tipping your cap to the other team?
Well, I think some of it is everybody we're playing, we're getting their best shot. We know that. But, somettimes You know, football's one time Lou Holtz says you bring a different team to the stadium every week. And, you know, there's some truth to that. And every game is different. I can tell you that, there's not a team, I think, that overlooks us on their schedule. And as much as what you try to get a team ready to play, it's hard to peak every Saturday. And so we're getting everybody's best shot. You know, there have been some games where we started fast against the Missouri State. I thought we started fast. We had that punt return for a touchdown, and, you know, they fought back. And so how the game unfolds, we can't always determine. There is a distinct advantage that we have in the fourth quarter, though. The style of offense that we play and the way we're able to rotate defensive linemen, that plays well to being stronger and more physical in the fourth quarter. And that's been kind of our ace in the hole, and we've utilized that strength and determination and physicality time and time again.
I have to assume that any sort of inspiration is not needed for this game Saturday with the guys knowing how this game went last year.
Well, many times you can say memory's pretty short, every year's a new year, but our guys recognize, first of all, Dom, how competitive the Valley football play is. You know, people will say whatever they want to about Missouri State. Well, they won last week, and they had a good football team. And so you throw records out, and our guys are very aware of the talent level and how competitive the Valley is, if you ask them per man. Certainly, going in and playing a team that is your only blemish off a pretty spectacular year last year, it's gonna resonate some. However, I'm not going to bring it up a great deal. I think our players recognize that this was the team that defeated us last year. And so more than a revenge factor, I think it's a once again another eye-opening deal that, hey, these guys didn't go to the playoffs yet. They were very good, and they beat us at home.
Doesn't that start at the top where you walk in the door every day, it doesn't matter the opponent's won 5 in a row or lost 5 in a row?
Our guys got a great pulse on that. They recognize that. As coaches, we do. I know I was in at 5:15 this morning, and I wasn't the first guy here. And so that's our coaching staff. Our players recognize it, and that's life in the Valley. You got to get ready to play every week.
What's the health of you guys right now?
Yeah, we're encouraged. You know, some of the guys that were in hopes to have back, Carlton Littlejohn was a little bit on the bubble last week. Jack Plankers is another guy. I don't think DeLuca will be in position to go. We think Pierre G. Tucker will be able to go. That'll be determined. All those guys will probably know a lot more on Wednesday, but I would say things look somewhat promising right now, considering the type of injuries that they have had in our past history of these guys coming back. Every case is different, but we came through the game awfully healthy. And for this time of the year, we're pleased with where we're at.
What was DeLuca's injury?
He had a meniscus tear, had surgery done, and it's just, you know, some guys come back. Most guys don't come back in a week. He's got a shot. I would say of all those guys I just mentioned, Dom, he's probably the most doubtful, though.
Coach, Shakir Bell only has one rushing touchdown this year. What have you seen other teams do to be contained in this year?
That's a great question because, you know, he tore us up last year, and he still shows signs of that. I know he sustained, a broken collarbone earlier in the year. Whether that's had some impact on his running, he still is very elusive. You know, they've got some experienced offensive linemen. They did change quarterbacks last week. I think that has some impact on it. We're anticipating seeing the All-American Shakir that we were confronted with last year. He's a great football player.
Coach, what kind of impact does a guy like Nate Moody have on your team? I know he doesn't get a lot of passes in his way, but how does he fit in with the group of receivers that you've got?
Well, Nate has been a soldier out there. He does whatever he's asked to do. He fills in. Wouldn't say he's necessarily a great deep threat. However, he's a very capable receiver. And as you look at how we play a lot of receivers, and it's important for us to have fresh legs out there. So to be able to go out, to have somebody that we feel very comfortable throwing the ball to on third down, it's a great deal of flexibility. And those are the things that carry you through. When you get deep in Valley play, when you down the road getting hopefully in playoff play, those are the guys that are really carrying the torch for you.
You looked at the Omaha when they dropped the program, Shepherd specifically. What did you see in him that you thought might, you make a player at this level?
First of all, we knew Connor Riley, and he was the guy that had recruited him out of Olathe. And Coach Riley, who's now on our staff, spoke highly about his character. I also knew Pat Burns well, talked to him, and we got some tape in. He had great speed, athleticism. He was a younger player, but was a playmaker. And then the more that we got to know Brian, the better we liked him. And then he fit in with our program as well. And it's been a great, great addition. And, you know, you look at what Shep does for us, Jeff. I mean, whether it's covering kicks or playing in nickel package or, you know, playing safety, it's been a great, great addition. And, you know, their loss has been our gain.
You see any similarities between him and Pike? You know, because both seem to have hit harder than what their weight is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brian hits harder than Pike. You know, I appreciate old Pike. And Brian runs a lot faster than Pike.
Strike that question.
Okay. Brian's been one of the most productive defensive players and most productive players that we have on our football team. And many times you'll find once a guy finds himself into a starting role on defense, they sometimes will lessen their level of enthusiasm to play special teams. This is quite frankly been the opposite with Brian. Brian really, embraces a special team role. He loves the fact when he's one of the first guys coming down covering those kicks. But he did a great job on Saturday, and he's done so many things for our program, and he's been a phenomenal addition.
Talk about his versatility. If you might be, you know, low on some linebackers, you can use him in that nickel package, but
Yeah, what it does, it gives us the ability to take Colton Hegel and put him down inside. And so now you've got two I mean, Brian, I think, is the fastest player on our team this year. You know, some players may debate that and want to get in a race, but I think he's probably the fastest player we have. And so to have Christian and Brian back at the safeties and spin Hegel down gives us a great deal of flexibility. And then that, while we're thin at linebacker, then that just basically gives us another really outstanding athlete on the field.
Coach, this is the first time, I think, in 4 years you've had back-to-back road games. What goes into the challenges of playing two games in a row on the road, if any?
To say none, I think, would be, it wouldn't be accurate. But our guys have been really good as far as just being in a routine. You know, you meet with the captains, so one thing they'll tell you right away, don't mess with a routine. Coach, don't mess with the routine. And whether they're superstitious or they're players that are just in a routine, they've been really good as far as adapting with change. And we try to limit the amount of change to everything, to their class schedule, to what they eat, to the routine that they're on. And I think that's been helpful. And they played well on the road. So the fact that we're going on the road two times in a row, we try to minimize that as much as what we can.
You had coaches ask you what you do in your routine specifically. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of teams, I don't think, don't go to the stadium on Friday like you guys do. Are more people doing that? People asking you about that? What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, some people do. You know, the head coach of Colorado came and spent a couple days with us and looked at what we were doing. It's just been a formula that we kind of put into place several years ago. And part of why we don't go to the stadium is sometimes the places we flew into, you know, it was the logistics of going back and forth. And I did know through the years that players they get in a routine. And so one time if you go to the stadium and then the next time you're an hour and a half on away and you don't go to the stadium, everybody freaks out. I mean, and I'm not saying our guys are quite like baseball players, but they're not too far off. I mean, I know Brock Jensen's got his routines on how he picks his balls to everything else. So we try not to mess with that.
Did you stumble on that by accident at the Montana game, right? Because you guys,
yeah.
That's the start of it, right?
That's exactly. That was the start of it.
Brock had mentioned, I don't know the exact quote, but he said he enjoyed going on the road and playing on the road almost more than at home. I don't know the exact quote, but do you guys enjoy going on the road sometimes?
Yeah,
you know, at home, are you looser? Or are you?
Your observation, your comments is pretty accurate. I think a lot of our players, You know, they're in a different, there are no distractions. They're with their teammates. They're in a secluded environment the night before. Everything is, you know, there are no family members around. There's nothing. It's just those guys with their teammates getting ready to play football. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we've been successful on the road. And what he said there, I've heard him say the same thing, Mike. And I don't think he's the lone ranger. I think there's a couple other guys. Now, I don't want to minimize, we love our home crowd. We love our home crowd, and it's been great to have our home crowd. But our guys typically have not gone on the road and just, not handled the adversity or change. They've been pretty mature football team. The other thing I think that's helped, Mike, is these guys have been together for 4 years now, and they've gone through an awful lot and traveled a lot of places.
You make South Dakota pick to finish last in the conference. Now I think you're 3-1 in the conference.
That's Joe Glenn. You know, he's a pretty resilient guy, and I also make that there's a lot of parity in our league, and every Saturday somebody's going to go down, and they've been on the upside, and they've won some close games. That win against Northern Iowa certainly is impressive.
And shake up the rest of the league the way you look at it here with the four games you have left, that there's who knows what could happen between now and November 23rd?
Yeah, that's a case in point. When you look at the standings, I was looking at that on our show the other day. I mean, I would not have picked it that way at the beginning of the year. To say Northern Iowa's at the bottom of the league right now with three losses in the league after beating Iowa State. We're at the meat of the conference schedule, and there's a lot to play for, and there's, I'm sure, going to be some upsets as we finish out the season.
Is the bye going to come at a nice time of the year? Three games left, right?
And
have a little reset week there to get healthy and get back to
it. Yeah, it is, Mike. This is a really important game, and we got a lot of guys that are playing with a lot of bumps and bruises. You take a late season bye, there's never been one that at that time of the year, you're going to get some guys that, okay, yeah, they're going out there and they're practicing, but, you know, they get banged up in practice and then they limp into the game, and then you just kind of tape an aspirin on a little injury so they go again. Well, if you have a bye as opposed to a bye earlier in the year where you're using it to develop, we will utilize that bye to get some guys fresh and healthy. Our main focus right now is Indiana State. But make no mistake, I think our players and coaches recognize, let's get this win and catch our breath here.
Has Slate played himself into a role at all?
Yeah, he has. We feel very comfortable with him being out there, Jeff. I mean, he's made the transition from quarterback to linebacker. Our linebacker in the Tampa 2 system is a complicated system. It's not one that is easily done. There's a lot of mental assignments, and it's taken. Esley's a very bright, smart football player, and it's taken him a while, but he's embraced that role. And certainly having him out there, we feel very comfortable. It'll be great to have Carl Littlejohn back, hopefully this week, and that to give us more depth at that position.
Coach, getting back to the conference race, obviously being undefeated, you're on top of the league, but you start to talk now about how you control your own destiny with the teams that you have coming up that are right behind you in the league. Do you ever use that as a tool for your team?
Our guys have been really good as far as take it one game at a time. That's been how we've operated since I've been our head football coach. Our guys are also experienced in the Valley. Their number one goal is to win the Valley. Their number one goal is to win the Missouri Valley. And the best way they know how is to win the next game and also not count on somebody else to have to slip up. And so for us to be in this position, we've worked hard to be in this position. It's hard to maintain it, but it's certainly better to be at this position as opposed to a loss here or there, and you're looking at saying, okay, somebody's going to have to get tripped up. And so we've worked hard to be where we're at. We want to maintain it.
Is it a coaching change that can be this disruptive for Indiana State? Why do you think they're having the struggles that they've had this season?
Every year is a new year. I thought the same thing, Don, when I looked at the record. I went, what the heck? They were a team that was vying for playoffs and beat us last year. And they had two pick sixes, but they forced those turnovers. And we couldn't tackle Shakir Bell. I mean, he could still be running today. you know, every year is a new year, but some of their losses have been close. I know they had a close game with Purdue, Big Ten school. They also lost to USD in a close score. I think Tennessee Tech was a close score as well. Last week, you know, I think Illinois State just jumped out on them. But we're going to play a competitive football team, and why their record is where it is this year, I can't say. But I thought the same thing of Missouri State. I thought, gosh, Missouri State's a lot better than their record, and they challenged us here, and they turned around and beat South Dakota State last week, and so does not surprise us. And why their record is where it's at, I don't know. But we need to be ready to play to have a chance to win.